Praise God. I can't hear you. Somebody praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Did you enjoy my beautiful wife's message? Help me appreciate her. That was beautiful. Amen. Please take your seat. Again, we'd like to honor our friends, Pastor Chris and Pastor Yemisi Ugo, for this great opportunity. We always love King's Assembly. Whenever he asks us to come, we just cancel everything and make sure we are here. Is it a good idea? Yeah. Praise God. You like us also, Abby? Yeah. Okay, hallelujah. Because a relationship can work if only one person loves the other one. Two people have to love each other. I tell people that all the time, that you love somebody is not enough. They also must what? Love you. All right. As usual, I like to talk about some of our books. Really, really encourage you to get books to read. People just don't invest enough when it comes to relationship. And it pains me sometimes. Because you can save everybody a lot of stress just by, you know, learning bits about relationships. Just have some interest. Thank you. Just have some interest. It will go a long way. Praise God. Ladies, I've told you about 7 questions wise women ask. Are there wise women here? I can't hear you. Are there wise women here? All the wise women say amen. Amen. All right. If you're a single lady, this is compulsory for you to have 7 questions wise women ask. I tell ladies all the time, you must know the questions to ask a guy. You don't have to ask it like a WAEC exam. But you need to always answer these questions in your heart. Because the best time to succeed, or the way where you start succeeding in marriage, is before you marry. Not inside the marriage. Praise God. The men have one titled 7 Qualities Wise Men Want. Over the years, I've discovered that, you know, men and women don't develop the same way emotionally. So men, listen well, because over a period, I've had to deal with a lot of men that are in a very bad marriage. It's not only women that enter bad marriage, only women that enter one chance. A lot of men have entered bad marriages. It's just that men don't talk as much. There are many men that are suffering. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'm not joking. Many men are suffering. And I discover part of what causes the problem is that from childhood, a woman is developing faster. Sorry, I need water. A woman is developing faster emotionally while a man is not. From when a woman is a baby, a young child, young girl, she's playing with dolls. She's playing with house. She's playing with pot and pan. She's generally doing something family oriented. She thinks that have to do with other human beings, family life. So you see dolls. She's making clothes for the doll. She's plaiting the doll's hair. She's talking to the doll. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you play that kind of play, Abby. The dolls have name and you talk to them. You even arrange them. And you are communicating with them. So she's developing relational skills. She's also developing emotionally. The boys, on the other hand, ball involves competing and outdoing another person. He's not developing relationally at the same pace at all. Is somebody getting this? Check all the movies the girl is watching from when she's young, cartoons. All the cartoons are romance-oriented, fantasy-oriented. Rapunzel, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella. They are all love stories. So from that young age, she's developing a picture of married life, of a sweet married life, of romance. The boy is watching war movies, an action film, where they are beating each other. Is somebody seeing the problem? So by the time they hit early 20s and marriage is in view, the woman has a bigger picture of how the romance will look. The man has no clue. He's just moved by his passion to be with someone. He's just passion. So the first fine girl he comes across, he thinks that feeling he has is love. By the time a boy and a girl are 25, the girl has had about 3 or 4 heartbreaks. The boy is getting set for his first one. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The girl is way more experienced. She has fallen in and out of love many times. So by the time he chooses, he thinks the first fine girl you see, you should marry. Not knowing that there are qualities you must look out for in a woman before you choose. And I dealt with it in this book. 7 qualities wise men want. Many men don't even know their number one need in marriage. They think it's just sex. They think as long as she's a fine girl, I like her shape. There are a lot of shape. She's fair. She has long hair. She's my wife material. No. Does she give you peace? Does she listen? Easy to read, because me too, I don't like to read long story. I hate when I say fat book, how to make it in life, and it's fat like this. When will I want to make it quickly. It's not this long story. Just who understands what I'm talking about? I don't like all those kind of books. How to make millions, and the book fat like this. It's too. The worst one is how to manage your time, and the book come fat. You are wasting my time. I recommend them. There's the all year round for men and women. If you are not good at, see, no marriage breaks overnight. Marriages always break over time. No marriage breaks overnight. They always break what? Over time. So couples don't just break up, they drift apart. So we have a lot of coaching materials here that focus on how you and your spouse can be more intimate. All year round for men and women is like me and my wife coaching you every week. 52 tips for 52 weeks. Small things you can do to enrich your love life. So it's all here and all that. So let's move to what I'm going to share today. Of course, my new book that came out this week, two of them, they are out here. Remember, we are going to do book signing as usual after the service tonight. This one is how to know if he or she really loves you. It just came out a week ago. Then the one titled, Seven Things I Badly Want to Tell Women. Now, whether you're a single woman or a married woman, this one will bless you. It took me 25 years to come up with these seven things that I badly want to tell women. It's also a bestseller. All right. So how many people are married in the house? You are married. Can I see your hand? You are married. Awesome. Wonderful. All right. You are single. Can I see your hand? I'd just like to know. Good. Thank you. Some people didn't know whether they're single or not. You are in between the two. Praise God. So this evening, I'm going to be sharing on dealing with a difficult spouse. Please write it down. Dealing with a difficult spouse. Now, I know some of you don't have a difficult spouse, so that's good, but this is like a counselor's training I'm giving you, so take down the notes. When your friends or neighbors or colleagues in the office say, I'm dealing with a difficult spouse, bring out your notes and tell them, sit down. Let me cancel you. I would either cancel you or cancel you. Praise God. Same thing if you're single. This will help you. So this is very, very powerful stuff that can help you. Okay, because somewhere along the line, the best place to get a good marriage is from choosing right. But some people have chosen and is still not working. What can I do inside a difficult marriage? What can I do? There are seven steps to help you deal with a difficult spouse. So number one, the first and most powerful thing to do when you are dealing with a husband or a wife that is causing you problem, the first step is prayer. Come on, say with me, prayer. Say it like you mean it. Say prayer. Yes, sir. If you're dealing with a difficult spouse, and I'm talking to those that are married, if you are single and have a difficult boyfriend, you can't get a friend, the right answer is to go. It's to pathways. Got all the things I've shared in their letter P. If you're dealing with a difficult boyfriend, girlfriend, pathways, that's the way to solve the problem. But if you're already married, leaving the marriage should not be what you should be thinking about. Because marriage is a covenant. Two people become one. In the eyes of God, there's no excuse that God gave for people to break a marriage. He believes marriage is a covenant, should never be broken. I understand that people get divorced, but in God's mind, he wants us to work it out. So number one is prayer. Prayer is so underestimated by many believers. Prayer is not the same as complaining. Many times, when some people say they are praying, they are just complaining to God. They are reporting their spouse to God. That's not prayer, that's complaining. When it comes to prayer, it must be done with faith, and it must be done backed up with scriptures. Prayer is powerful. There is no situation that prayer cannot change, especially when you don't even know what to do. See, prayer affects three things. First of all, prayer changes you, because you have to be a better person to win over a situation. Prayer changes you. Secondly, prayer changes the atmosphere. There's something about an atmosphere that God has permitted. Prayer begins to change things. Then thirdly, prayer can change your spouse. The Bible said the heart of kings are in the hands of God. He can turn it to whichever way he wills. God can touch people's hearts. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I say God can touch people's hearts. Prayer works. And especially because you are married to that person, you have the highest point of jurisdiction in that person's life. When it comes to spiritual things, there's spiritual jurisdiction. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So You have a right, because that person is your husband, that person is your wife, you have a right to stand in prayer. If somebody is messing up with your husband or messing up with your wife, you don't have to beg, you can pray. You have spiritual jurisdiction. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So prayer. He said, what God has joined together, let no one put what asunder. So you will go and get scriptures, and you will stand on these scriptures, and the prayer will be prayed in faith. You won't be praying and be crying. You won't be praying and be complaining. That's what happens to many people, is that when they pray one thing, they speak and think something contrary. One of the ways you know you are in faith is that your prayer and your thoughts must line up together. Your prayer and your actions must line up together. You can't pray in one way and tomorrow start saying that this is a useless man. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't pray for God to change him to be a useful man, and in the same breath, after you do the prayer, your sister call you, say, how far? He said, don't mind that useless man. He don't come out again. You have just canceled what you prayed. Because in the realm of the spirit, your words count. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So you've noticed that most people that have a difficult spouse, they are the ones that speak most evil about their spouse. Then you are not yet praying. You are canceling your prayer. One of the ways you know you started to pray is when, even when they ask you, how is that woman? You won't say she's still a talkative, she's a troublesome woman. No, you say she's blessed. God is working in her life. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's how faith works. When it comes to faith, your prayer and your actions must line up. Give me James chapter 1. James chapter 1 from verse 5. He says, if anybody lacks wisdom or anything, you can replace wisdom with anything you like. If anybody lacks wisdom or anything, let him do what? I can't hear you. Let him do what? Ask of God. Who does what? Who gives liberally without reproach? And it will be done what? Given to him. Next verse, DJ. Next verse, verse 6. It says, but, whenever you see but, you know that the promise they just said now won't work for everybody. When you see but, there's problem. Somebody get what I'm saying? They say, but, let him do what? You see, if you read only verse 5, you think this prayer is going to work for everybody. But they say, no, but, let him ask in faith. Without what? Doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. See verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will do what? Receive anything from the Lord. So you see that it's not all prayer that gets answered. It's when you pray in faith that it gets answered. So number one, pray. If your husband or wife is stressing you, then you need to pray about it. Don't just complain. Don't just confront, but pray. Number two, second P. If you are dealing with a difficult spouse, you need patience. You need patience. That's the second P. First P is prayer. Second P is patience. Listen, guys, marriage is the thing that will train you in patience. All this, I can't wait, I can't wait. I tell single people, you say, I can't wait to be married. My brother, you better wait to be married. Because if you don't wait to be married, you wait inside marriage. But this waiting, you go, sha, waiter. They are managing their words. Only two words remains. Till the food come. And you're asking one long story. Now, honey, what do you think? He's managing. He has only two words left till the rice is done. When the rice is done, we can have this conversation. So perspective can change everything. Just understanding better what people are dealing with. Sometimes you're saying, my wife is not responsive in sex. My husband is this in sex. Maybe your wife was molested when she was young. You've never asked her. You've never heard her story. Some women were molested when they're young. They can't even kiss a man today because of the first experience of kissing they had. They were forced when they were young. Some women were molested, were sexually abused. That's why they can't fully release themselves during sex. But you are just complaining. You Superman, you don't even know what guests are doing outside. My brother, calm down. Have you been molested before? So perspective. So sometimes when your partner is acting a certain way, try to understand them before you try to correct them. Try to understand them before you try to change them. Find out where they're coming from. Nobody behaves in a certain way for no reason. Every behavior you are seeing has a reason. Is somebody getting to what I'm saying? And your job is not to change the behavior. Your job is to first find the reason behind it. Number what is the next one? I can't hear you. Number what? Number four, praise. Is the 4P, the 4th P. Praise. When you have a difficult spouse, you need to realize that nobody is 100% bad. And if you marry somebody that's 100% bad, then you are the problem. So my suspicion is that that person is not 100% bad. Everybody has some good side and some bad sides. If your spouse is acting difficult, one of the things I help people to do is let's find his good sides. I still counseled someone yesterday. She said all the things, bad things her husband was doing. I said, great. I said, let's begin to write the things he's doing well. And we began to write it, and we found out that the good things were more than the bad things. Are you here, somebody? Many times when I've done that exercise with some people, they end up even loving their partner more. They say, oh, I didn't know he was this good. I was just focusing on the bad thing. You see, the way your life works, whatever you focus on is gets bigger, gets more important to you. So instead of just focusing on only what the bad things your partner is doing, make a list of the good things. He shouts at me, but does he pay rent? Does he help with the school fees? Does he help with the kids? Is he gentle? Does he come home every day? List everything you can find. Sometimes after you do it, you see so many good things. And we tell them, start praising him one a week for those things. Start praising him. People get addicted to praise. You know how many of you know we are like God? We are made in the image and the likeness of God. And you know God likes praise, Abby? Human beings too like praise. Human beings react to praise. I remember one old man that his children send money from abroad for him to pay rent and do some other serious things. From bank, he went straight to a party. You know Yoruba party, where they call your name. They began to call his name and praise him. He didn't know when he began to spray house rent. When he finished spraying, he had to go and beg them to. And it's an old man, they had to pity him and give him some back. Is somebody get what I'm saying? So begin to praise that person. Everybody is responsive to praise, no matter how wicked they are. Once you praise them, their heart begins to melt. See, people can change. You just have to know some of the things to do to change them. Praise your partner. Find what they are doing well. Even if it's one thing, call them and say, hey, I like the way you do this. I like the fact that you our rent is never due. I like the fact that children are going to a good school. I like the fact that you're a strong man. I like the fact that you're a hardworking man. There must be something that your partner is doing well. Most times, like I said yesterday, most times when people want to talk, it's only about the bad thing they want to talk about. Next time you tell your husband we need to talk, let it be something good you want to tell him. But some people, they are so full of complaint. Every time they open their mouth, it's something they want to complain about. Praise your partner. All right? Praise your partner. Number what is next one? Number 5, persist in doing good. If you're dealing with a difficult spouse, when they are not doing well, you persist in doing good. 1 Peter chapter 3. DJ, give it to me from verse 1. 1 Peter 3. People always ask me, it's a common question. Say, Pastor, when your husband is bad, when your wife is bad, what should you do? It's very simple. God has answered it here. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It says, wives, likewise, be what? I can't hear you. Be what? Submissive to your own husbands. That even if some of them do not obey the word of God, that means if you're married to a difficult man, he's not obeying the word of God. He's not doing what the Bible said he should do to you. He's being mean. He's being wicked. He's shouting. He's cheating. He's doing all kinds of bad things. He's not obeying the word of God. See what the Bible said you should do. It said, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, that even if you do not obey the word of God, they, without that word of God, may be won by what? The conduct of their wives. Next verse. It says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied with fear. Next verse. Fear means reverence. Next verse. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting fine apparel. It says, rather, let it be what? I can't hear you. Let it be what? The hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a what? You see, most women don't have this. When they're upset, they are not gentle, they are not quiet. They shout, they talk, they complain. Exactly opposite of what God said to do. He said, look, even if he doesn't have the word, let him be touched by how calm you are. Let him be touched by how respectful you are. He said, you persist in doing good. If you are doing good to somebody and not doing good back to you, don't do fire for fire. Fire for fire will burn down the house. Fire for fire won't work. He said, you be of quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Next verse. He said, for in this manner, in former times, holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being what? Submissive to their own husbands. He said, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Lord. Whose daughters you are. He said, if you do good and are not afraid with peril. So stop there. We'll continue, but stop. So for women, this the picture they painted. Say, if your husband
is not behaving well. Say, you continue to behave well. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't what? Make a right. If he's behaving out of character, he's not behaving like a Christian, he's not obeying the word of God, or he's not even a Christian at all. They say, you be nice. You be gentle. You be quiet and submissive. This is Bible wisdom. They said that will get you more results than fire for fire. Fire for fire will even drive him further away from you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So resist the temptation to give railing for railing, shouting for shouting. Resist that temptation. In case you're a man here, they also spoke to you. Verse 7, let's continue. He said, husbands, the Bible is very balanced. It's just that people get confused, or sometimes people just preach one side. But the Bible itself, God himself, is very balanced. There's nowhere God addressed one thing without addressing the other thing. Like the most common scripture, Ephesians 5, where we normally get the idea from that men like respect and women like love. So people will just be shouting, why do you say men like respect? Is it that women don't like respect? That's not what they mean. They were in that scripture, Ephesians 5, they were painting the picture of what each person needs the most. They were coaching. In fact, that Ephesians 5, it wasn't like God was talking to the whole class. What happened was that God was giving expo to women and giving expo to men. So what happened is that the men went to read the one they told the women. It has nothing to, they didn't tell you. They're telling women, say, look, we're giving you code to get a man's heart to open, respect him. They were not talking to men, but men go and read that one, and men want to enforce that one. But to the men, God told them, your own, eh? If your wife is troubling you, love her. That's what she's looking for. So let's all stay with our own part of the instruction. Forget the other person's instruction. And you see the interesting thing about Ephesians 5, where God said love and respect. God told each person the thing they will find difficult to do. So Ephesians 5 is not telling us all the things you need to know about marriage. No, it just went straight to the point. He said, look, as a woman, your biggest struggle will be to respect your husband. Women don't have problem with love. Women are natural lovers. They are used to giving. They are used to loving. He said, where you have a challenge as a woman is respecting the man. You know why? Because by the time you marry the man, you find that he's not as fast as you. He doesn't think like you. He's not as sensitive as you. Women in every area are more advanced than men. And it's not, I'm not saying this for men to feel bad. It's just the fact. Scientists have also found it out. Women develop vocabulary faster. They hear better. They see better. Women can multitask. Women can do more than one thing at the same time. Most men cannot. It's how they were created. If you look at Genesis, they said when they made Adam, the first thing they gave him was work. When they made woman, the first thing they gave him was a man. What this means is that Adam generally can look out for himself, but a woman can look out for herself and another person. If you see Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, hallelujah, it's how they are wired. That's why a woman came with breast and with womb. Her package has another person considered. From beginning, a man is not like that at all. Adam lived for many years without another human being. He's not used to having another person around. This is why men will struggle with love. That's why in Ephesians 5, what God told them was love. He didn't bother to tell a woman gives, a woman loves. What the woman will struggle with is respect, because she's a way more sophisticated equipment. By the time she finds out how analog the man is, she will struggle with respecting him. I'm telling you, this is the issue. God went straight to the point. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, the same scripture, it says, when the Spirit comes upon all flesh, he said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. He said, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Or when it came to men, they are having visions and dreams. These are personal things. Every time they included a woman, they included prophesy. To prophesy means you usually prophesy to another person. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Because a woman will always think of another person. Look at it here. He said, and she come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and daughters shall do what? Prophesy. But when it comes to only men, your men shall do what? See vision. Your old men shall do what? Dream dreams. Give me the next verse. Next verse, quickly. He said, and my men servants and maid servants shall, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall what? Prophesy. Wherever they included women, it had to do with prophecy. That means thinking and talking to another person. Seeing for another person. But for men, it's their own vision. It's their own dream. So women naturally have capacity. See, God did not only equip you physically to carry another human being, he equipped you emotionally to carry another human being. As a woman, it's not only a physical womb you have a spiritual womb. That's why when a man enters your life, his dreams have to be coming to pass. That's why the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. That's why the Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband's head. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's a natural grace you have as a woman. And men, this is why you need to make your wife happy. If your wife is happy with you, you will prosper like never before. I kid you not. I will show you all these things in the Bible, so it's not to worry about. If your wife is happy, you will prosper. You will prosper. So a woman can multitask. They found out that from when two children are in the womb, a male and a female, that the woman's brain continues to grow, two sides of her brain. But the man's brain, at some point, there's a rush of testosterone that flows into the baby's brain and it divides the two sides of the brain. So the man only uses one side of his brain. That something breaks the nerve connecting the two sides. So a woman, when she's grown, she can jump from one thing to another. She's using two sides of her brain, turbocharged. This is why if you're talking to a woman, she can mix up or jump from one conversation to another. As a man, you discover that most of the time when you're talking to a woman, you are wondering, what are we talking about? She's wondering why you are so slow. We have left talking about Jane now. We are talking about John's brother. Why are you still? Because the man didn't even know when the conversation switched. But women don't understand why men are that slow. Because for them, women are used to, we can start from here, jump to here, jump back to here, jump to here. Women are using two sides of their brain. That's why a woman can be watching TV and also be on her phone. My wife is so annoying. We'll be watching TV. She's also playing game and also replying people. I say, are you watching or you are playing? She said, I'm watching. Now, she's going to be telling me what happened. Even me that I'm watching like this, I'm not getting everything that's happening. Because they have two sides of their brain. A woman will floor a man any day in observation or anything. The way scientists have also found out, a woman can see more to the side than straight. Men have power to see straight better than women because our main calling is vision. So men can see long, far. The first men were hunters, remember that? So they can see animals very far. But women, the first women were not hunters, they were nurturers. So they need to be able to see the children playing around. So they see sideways. So that's why if a woman enters the place, she can scope the room and know the fine men without the men knowing that she has scoped the room. But if a man enters the place, if you're looking at the girl, everybody, the girl already knows you're looking at me. Everybody knows she's looking at me. Why is he looking at that girl? Those of you that are wives, say, if you've ever gossiped with your husband before, you know he spoils the gossip. You're telling him that, look to your that girl. He'll say, hey, which one? He'll say, don't look with the gossip. No, look. Because the man has to turn his whole head to see. But women know that they can see from the side of their eyes. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So women, that your ability to scope a room without looking, you think it's normal for us. It's not normal for us. That's why anytime you gossip with us, we spoil the gossip because we need to turn our head. We can't look by the side. Women can look by their side. They can scope a room without changing their face. Most time, the man think I'm the one that toasted the woman. She's the one that toasted you. She saw you first. She was the one that made you see her. She was intentionally passing where you are. You say, I just see one girl. No, now she see you. Now she first see you. Now she make you see him. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? All these things have been scientifically proven. Women will floor a man any day. She uses two sides of her brain. That's why she can do more than one thing conveniently at the same time. Conveniently. If a man is, for instance, is having sex, he can't think of anything. Because remember, he uses one side of his brain. If he's thinking of sex, he can't think of anything. A woman can be having sex and say, is the door locked? Have you locked the downstairs door? Because one brain is with you, another one is going, checking pot, checking, you need to buy Ugu the next day. She has two brains. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So when you understand that, so when that kind of equipment called a woman is put into a man's life, and in her mind, she doesn't know the man is this slow. She doesn't know the man is this one-track-minded. She doesn't know this man is this insensitive. By the time she marries the man, she'll not see all these problems. So her third biggest challenge is respecting that man. A man's biggest challenge is loving a woman. Because all the days of that man's life, he has been used to taking care of only himself. He sees vision. He dreams dreams. He doesn't understand the concept of caring for another very well. So God said, your biggest challenge will be to love your wife. So he went straight to where our weaknesses are and what the other person's main need is. A woman's biggest need is to be loved. Are you here, somebody? Men, listen. Women are not hard. A woman's biggest need is to be loved. And God was clear. He made it specific what love means to a woman. Because men don't understand. He said, to be loved. Don't I love her? I love her now. Love is based on what she needs, not what you like. So he said, men, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself. So you will sacrifice yourself to meet whatever need your wife has. When Jesus loved us, our need was salvation. Am I correct? So even though he brought bread, even though he multiplied wine, he did all this, but that was not the main need. He gave himself to meet our main need. So men, if your wife's main need is talking, for instance, and you don't like talking, you will sacrifice that you're not liking talking to do what? To talk with her. That's what it means. You give yourself your natural comfort, give it up. Like my wife said, if there's one car in the house, the woman should use the car. You give yourself. Look, when you honor God like that, God will bless you to the point where you will never have a car issue in that family. So a woman's need is to be taken care of. That's her biggest need. That's what love is. Love is in practical terms. To be taken care of. They found out scientifically, women were not structured to work as hard as they work. We're just the ones stressing them. And of course, the Western world, because they are pushing to compete with men, they are making women work harder. But they found out that when men work, the chemical flowing in them, testosterone and co, makes them enjoy work. This is why when men meet, they brag about how hard they work. So boy, I stayed traffic 3 hours yesterday now. Because of meeting we'll get, we last late. The friend will say, you're all good. Me, I sleep for office. These men bragging. They're happy about it. Stress doesn't kill men as much because they have chemicals flowing in them. Whenever work is stressful, testosterone flows in them. It helps them work more. In fact, most men, when they are stressed, it's work they use to manage the stress. They work one more. Is somebody get what I'm saying? But for women, when women work hard and are trying to meet the same target as men, what is flowing in them is called cortisol. Cortisol reduces a woman's immune system. So it stresses her. On the other hand, what makes a woman more excited is oxytocin. They say it flows when she sees babies. This is why if you see a woman that has a baby or is pregnant, other women will gather her. Hey, can take it to whose baby is it? They are all happy. They don't know the baby, but they're happy. If men see baby, they run away. Baby stresses us. Are you getting what I'm saying? But work excites us. So all this is scientifically and scripturally proven. A woman is excited when she sees family life. When she's happy at home, she's happy everywhere. It doesn't matter how well she's doing at work or how stressful work is. If she's happy at home, she's happy. The chemicals flow in oxytocin. She's very happy. She's excited. If somebody gets what I'm saying, CNN released a report last month or 2 months ago that 1 in 3 women are talking about leaving work to go and spend more time with the family. Most of these top women you see that are manager, this and this, their major problem is that they always have what they call guilt, mommy guilt. They always feel that they wish they could spend more time with their family, no matter how big that woman is. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So in Ephesians 5, God went straight to where our strongest needs and our strongest challenges were. Men, he said your strongest challenge will be loving your wife. Just love her. Scientists found out just telling a woman baby makes her feel better. Women want to be taken care of. That's why you just dash your wife money for no reason sometimes. Oh, women, you're not supporting when you should support. Women love to receive gifts. See, she can even be rich, but you just giving her something will make her happy. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's why you don't need all the money in the world. She loves to receive gifts. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? My wife is rich, but I still send her money. For no reason. For no reason. In December, I sent her 2 million. She said, for what? I said, for shoes. Just buy some shoes. No reason. The reason doesn't have to be strong. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Women like gifts. They love. So they like to be taken care of. That's their biggest need, love. It means take care of me. Take care of me. If I need to talk, talk to me. If I need to cry, be a shoulder for me to cry on. If I need to rest, drive everybody, let me rest. You know, just take care. Notice her. See her. Compliment her. That's all she's looking for. Once you love a woman right, she becomes like a super machine. You will see how she'll be moving. She'll be clearing obstacles on your way, both spiritually and physically. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? She becomes a machine. And for women, the secret on the other side for men, they say respect your husband. Men like respect. You can get a man to do anything if you respect him. Men like respect. It's scriptural. It's not cultural. Because some people say, he's the African man. No, it's biblical. Ephesians 5 is not. I'm somebody like me, I'm trained. You saw my profile. I'm trained internationally. And even white people will tell you the same thing. Even in white culture, men like respect. Amongst men, everything is done for honor. That's why you see the games that men play about honor. They can risk their life just to get bragging rights among their friends. Everybody jumping from top place to wound themselves. Just who will be respected. Everything for men is about honor. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Women, on their hand, they like love. All right, number what am I in? I have to round up. So I've talked about persisting good. Okay, I didn't finish reading 1 Peter 3. Let me finish quickly. Verse 7. That's where we stop. 1 Peter 3:7. So it says, husbands, they also now mentioned your own. Like I was saying that the Bible is balanced.
They talked about women, what you should do if your husband is giving you trouble. Now, husband, they say, this is what you should do if your wife is giving you trouble. He said, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with what? Understanding. They say, man, if your husband is giving you stress, deal with her with, if your wife is giving you stress, deal with her with understanding. Try to understand why she's stressed out. He said, giving unto the wife as to the what? Weaker vessel. She's a different person from you. She doesn't handle stress well the way you handle stress. She's more security-minded. She's more safety-minded. All right? He says, that's why it seems women like money. It's not really money women like. What they like is security. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? They like to know everything is fine. And you see, the way men see money and the way women see money is not the same. Men see money as the price. Women see money as a tool. So for women, money is something we spend. For men, money is something we make. Men like to have money. Let me make money. It's the price. I've made 10 million. For a woman, she'll be happy to say, I spent 10 million. That's where her own esteem is in spending. Your own is in making, because she likes security. She sees money as a tool. That's why it's hard to say a woman that is rich that is not taking care of her family. She's taking care of many people. She wants to take care of her mother. She wants to take care of her father. She wants to take care of her children. She wants to take care of everybody. She likes taking care of people. She sees money as a tool. But you can see many men that they are rich and their whole family is suffering because money is a price. Don't touch it. This is my 2 million I just made. Nobody should call me. He gets his esteem from keeping it. She gets her esteem from spending it. So for men, God will bless you enough to have enough to keep and enough for your wife to spend. That amen is not born again. All right. So treat her with knowledge as the weaker vessel. Understand, she can't be stressed. The mattress is too hard. The place you are living, there's no light. She can't be stressed. See, the car she's driving, the shocks above her is not good. Go and service it. Treat her as the weaker vessel. Take care of her. He said, and as being here together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be what? Hindered. Do you see it there? There's a blessing that you miss when you treat your wife badly. Next verse. Let me close. Next verse. He said, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Next verse. He said, not returning what? So if your wife is shouting, don't shout back at her. Not reviling for reviling. If she's carrying face, don't carry face back for her. Some men are champion malice keepers. If you want to keep malice, you will know that I represented my village in the local government malice championship. You want to keep malice? Who will see? Who will win? They say, no, as a man. Say, don't give her evil for evil. Don't give her reviling for reviling. Say, but on the contrary, instead blessing when she's cursing you. If she insults you, bless her. Knowing that you were so called. Because women, like I said yesterday, everything that evades their vocal cord. So they want to insult. They want to talk. They need you to talk. So instead of waiting for the quarrel, just talk to them normally. And they're like, there are two more. I don't have time. Number what? I'm going to stop. 6 or 5. I think it's 5-0. Number six is people's intervention. If you're dealing with a difficult spouse, once in a while, you might need to get somebody external to be involved. But you must be careful about that. Number one, be careful of involving family. Family will always take sides. So be careful. When you report your spouse to your family, they will support you even if you are wrong. It's only in rare cases that you have objective family members that can tell you the truth. Most of the time, your family will just support you. And when you tell them something bad about your husband, and you and your husband, you have settled, they might not forgive as easily. They say, remember what you said your husband said. And you are forgiven or you have moved on. So be careful about bringing in just anybody. If possible, bring in a professional, a counselor, a trained person that is skillful in bringing peace or speaking to your husband. Intervention can help. And number what? 7 or 6. I don't know which one. 7. Package. Is it 7? What? So what's number 1? Number 2? Number 3? Number 4? Number 5? Number 6. Okay. So number 7. That means I must have skipped one, but it's fine. Number 7. Packaging. If you're dealing with a difficult spouse, don't be tempted to let yourself go. Still package yourself. Look good. All right? Look good. You attracted that man or that woman at some point. You looked attractive to that man or that woman at some point. Why are they rejecting you so much now? Package yourself. Don't let the stress you're facing at home make you leave yourself. You're no more making your hair. You're no more brushing your teeth. You're no more looking good because your husband is not happy, because your wife is not happy, and you are leaving yourself, growing fat and all that. No. Package yourself. You want to attract them back to your life. You don't beg for love. You attract love. Don't go and beg them and say, pity me now, talk to me now. Why are you doing that? Don't beg. Begging for love is not attractive. Instead, get back your groove. It's called pie. So you look good physically. That's P.
look good intellectually, that's I, and look good emotionally. All right? Get a life. Get something doing. Look good again. Hallelujah. Look good again. Look excited about something, about life. In spite of what's going on, don't let the conditions you're facing make you look depressed. That will even make you less attractive. Hallelujah. And I pray for everyone that is under my voice. God will intervene in any home here in the name of Jesus. God will give you the strength to fall in love again with each other like it used to be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.